I'm very happy now to welcome Bob Martin. He's Executive Artistic Director of the Lenzic Performing Arts Center. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte. It's always great to be here.
It's always great to have you.
Thank you.
This amazing center, which is really the heart of Santa Fe in so many ways. And you bring programming of every conceivable kind, from film to dance to music and performance of all kinds, to the center of Santa Fe, a block off the plaza. And we want to have you on because we've got a little time at the end of the show, and there's a lot of amazing stuff coming up in this new season at the Lenzic.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, we're really, really excited. There's, always, you know, the incredible Lannan Foundation events and things that Jamie Lynn Festi does with Heath Productions, Aspen Santa Fe Ballet Concert Association. I mean, all those great groups. But also, we're really proud this year of what we're presenting as the Lenzic. We always, again, you know, we're doing the Met Live in HD, which has really become a favorite, and we're also doing the National Theater Live, and coming up we have both Macbeth and Othello productions from the National Theater. And then we're sort of expanding. We're doing a, for the first time, sort of a fall dance series with three really extraordinary ethnic dance companies, the Hungarian State Folk Ensemble in October, as well as Te Amo Argentina, and then in November, Ballet Folklorical de Bahia, which is basically the national company out of Brazil.
So, oh my goodness.
So that's going to be...
That should, you got to put extra support so that the roof doesn't blow off.
Yeah, I think so, because they're supposed to be one of the best companies that's toured in a long time. I was just at a booking conference and a lot of people were talking about them, and actually talking about all these things coming in.
How do you book the Lenzic? I mean, out of all the choices in the universe, how do you make your decisions?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing is that it's quality work and that it has meaning behind it. There's a lot of things when I go to these conferences that I would put sort of more in the quote-unquote entertainment category, and I wouldn't necessarily consider it the arts. And I feel that we have a responsibility as a nonprofit with a mission to really, you know, give people excellent work in all the different performing arts disciplines. So I look for things that are really quality and also things that have some meaning and you know, social value. We're bringing Mike Daisy back in November, who is one of the great chroniclers of what's going on in our culture these days.
And he's so amazing.
He's amazing. He's doing a new piece called The Secret War, which is exploring national security and privacy and freedom from, you know, what's been going on today back to Daniel Ellsberg, and it should be an amazing piece.
Oh, good. We hope to get him back on the Radio Cafe.
Yeah, he would love that, I know.
And you have a theater background yourself.
Yeah, I came originally from theater as an actor and, you know, sort of morphed into doing all these different things. But, I mean, I probably have to say, all bias aside, that the theater is still my first and foremost love. And it's, you know, it's as people always know, it's hard to bring things to Santa Fe. But one thing we're really excited about is this is our second season with Fusion Theater from Albuquerque, who are a terrific company. And they're bringing in, actually, end of September, the 27th and 28th, Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike, which just won the 2013 Tony Award for Best Play. Should be incredible. And then another amazing play that they're bringing in called The Mountaintop, which is a play about the last night in Martin Luther King's life, where he and a maid who comes into his room basically have a dialogue. Incredible play by a really, really outstanding playwright named Katori Hall. So they got the rights to those, and I'm just very impressed with the work that Dennis, who's the director, and all the people there with Fusion do. So they'll be doing a four-play season again here this year. We're really happy about that.
There's a lot of 50th anniversary stuff going on, not only around Martin Luther King, but also John F. Kennedy.
Well, there is, because, you know, just recently we've all been made aware again of the March on Washington and what that represented. And it's something to think that 3 months later that John Kennedy was assassinated. So to put in perspective, 50 years ago, what a year 1963 was like was just amazing. And you know, it's hard to figure out what do you do on a day like that. But we're incredibly fortunate that amongst us in Santa Fe are two gentlemen who were really there at that historical moment. Dick Stolle, who happens to be on our board and has worked for Time Life and still continues to, and just came out with an amazing book about all of the history around the Kennedy assassination. He'll be there, as well as Hal Wingo, who was the Washington bureau chief in D.C. and was there on that day. And then what we're going to do after we sort of set the stage for that day is we're going to really talk about where we are now. The idea that 50 years ago that the only image that people had was that one, you know, 8mm Zapruder tape, and now everybody on their phone can have an image. So we're going to have a dialogue called From Zapruder to Taksim Square, Media and Culture in the 21st Century. And that'll be a free event on the 22nd of November. And it'll really be a time for us to really reflect on, you know, where are we now, you know, in this age of constant 24/7, you know, bombardment media.
Yeah, the endless news cycle. I remember when I was very small, at the end of the day, if you had the television on, they would play the national anthem, and then it would go to static until the next morning. That was television.
Yeah, well, if only it could still be that way in some ways. I mean, you know, because I think it's great. You know, if you're an insomniac at 3 in the morning, you want to get up and see reruns of something, it's good. But at a certain point, it's like there's such a demand for so much product that I think that's why you end up getting so many bad things. If there was a narrow time frame, you could probably do better with what goes on. But, you know, to fill a – look at any of the cable news stations. I mean, what they have to – you know, what they have to do to just keep that going. It's why you don't really even get the news in the midst of it.
Right. And, I mean, not only are they – trying to fill up 24 hours, but they're also trying to sell the commercials that go in between. And that's another discussion, but maybe it's a discussion that we'll have in advance of this conference.
Well, hopefully you have that. And, you know, another interesting thing, I mean, it's sort of a weird segue, but it isn't, is that, you know, as you're thinking about what it is that we have, I don't think that you can lament everything that's lost, but I think you can certainly say that some things need to remain in some capacity. And one thing that we're very excited about is we're going to be doing a 35mm archival film series in conjunction with the Academy of Arts and Science, and we're going to be showing pristine prints that are never seen of some of the, you know, best, most memorable films in 35mm the way they were supposed to be seen, you know, on through projectors on a big screen in the Lensic. And, you know, that again, I think, is it's different than what we're doing around the discussion of, you know, From Zapruder to Taksim Square, but it actually is really the same world. It's that world of, you know, what do you lose and you don't want to lose it? Where are the things where you have to evolve? And we figure, well, we're about as state-of-the-art with, you know, live HD with the Met National Theater. And at the same time, we're now really considered an archival space. The Library of Congress, we had done some films with them, and they talked to the Academy and gave the green light that we were a place that, you know, had the expertise and the professionalism to show prints that really are archival and rarely shown. So it's going to be really exciting.
What are some of those prints? Can you tell us?
Well, you know, Thanksgiving weekend, this is the first year in 10 years we haven't had Circus Luminous. And we're sad about it, but everybody agreed that everybody needed a year off. I mean, nobody had a Thanksgiving in 10 years.
Right.
So actually Thanksgiving weekend, that Friday and Saturday, we're going to be showing on Friday 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And in the evening, The Bandwagon. And then on Saturday, Hatari. with John Wayne as a matinee, and then North by Northwest in the evening. All just great, great films, and I think a good thing for families to be able to do, you know, over that weekend, because I think everybody is looking after Thanksgiving for stuff to do with family in town, so it should be pretty cool.
What are your kind of best sellers when you think about programming the Lensic? What are the kind of surefire things that you know we're going to sell out?
Well, you know, I think I think that obviously helps, and a name being somebody that people are aware of, you know, because they're well known, or they've been on Letterman, or who knows what it was. On the other hand, there's so many people who don't have that name recognition, but are incredible artists. I mean, we have this artist who probably people don't know about, Maria de Barros from Cape Verde, who's going to be in next week on the 12th. Incredible singer, incredible musician. So, you know, with music, I think people tend to take chances more with people they haven't heard.
Interesting.
With theater, it certainly helps if it's a play they've heard of. And with dance, again, if it's a company they know, they may come. But if it's a company they don't know, it could be incredible work and they're a little shy. So a lot of it is, you know, I think, really about that there's a set audience for any given thing, and then how many people are curious enough and willing to take a chance that if we're bringing it in at the Lensic, we're bringing in something good, that they go try and see something they haven't seen in whatever genre it may be, dance, music, theater. It's strange how there isn't as much crossover with audiences in those disciplines as you would think there were. It's very specific audiences to jazz, unlike very specific audiences, you know, to classical music, and then the dance audience will rarely go to see theater. It's odd that way, and it's not just Santa Fe, it's anywhere.
Right,
you know,
right.
People sort of do pick the genre or, you know, the discipline they're interested in, and that's what they usually focus on.
When I talk to my friends from out of town, I say, yeah, this is a city where our greatest sellout crowds are Noam Chomsky and the Metropolitan Opera.
Yeah. Well, and we're lucky in that way. I mean, you know, I always say that I don't... Let me back up and say a lot of performing arts organizations are being pressured by their boards to have to bring in work that will sell. And a lot of times that work that sells is more popular work. It's not necessarily the best art that's out there. I feel blessed that both between our board and our audiences that we haven't had to do that at the Lensic, that we've been able to bring in really quality work, high quality work, and there hasn't been the pressure to do the commercial stuff because it'll sell. I mean, luckily in Santa Fe, the non-commercial stuff
right.
sells. And also, I think you sort of do a disservice to an audience when you bring in things and say, well, it's okay, this is under the banner of a performing arts center, even though it's the kind of entertainment that maybe really should be at a casino. Or something like that. And it's not to say that it isn't good work. It's just that I'm not sure a nonprofit performing arts center should really be promoting that, because I think there's a mission there to bring a higher standard to your community.
Well, at the same time, I mean, a few years ago, when was it? John Leguizamo was here.
Right.
And there was a crowd clearly full of people who'd never been to the Lensic before, and I'd never seen any of them. And it was so interesting to have a new, like, because comedy is something that we don't have all that much of here in town.
No, and we've done it now and then. Paula Poundstone's coming in December, and you know, that's one thing I'd like to do more of. Actually, this is a real scoop, but Colin Quinn is doing a one-man show, actually a theatrical piece, in 2014 here. So there's another example of somebody who was a comic, you know, Saturday Night Live, all that, and then created sort of an actual theater piece. So
you keep busy. Do you ever take any time off?
Yeah, I do take some time off. I have an incredible staff and an incredible board, and I was just away a week at this conference, and I actually had time away this summer. And, you know, I like to think that after 13 years, the Lensic can run without me and does run without me, and it means a lot to me. And it's also just says how many other people are, you know, so dedicated to the place. If you didn't have a staff that wanted it to work as well every day as I do, it'd be different. But I feel like every single person on our staff, production tech people, box office, development, marketing, I mean, everybody really cares what goes on there. So I actually feel that now I can have more of a life, and that it's in good hands when I'm not around. And a lot of times I need to be, you know, out of town trying to see new work and see what's going on and see if there's some interesting stuff I could bring here.
Bob Martin is Executive Artistic Director of the Lensic Performing Arts Center. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe. The Lensic is on the web at lensic.org.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte. It's always great to see you.